The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th Canto, Chapter Number 1, Text Number 36, given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on June 30th, 2009, in Suva, Fiji.
So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th Canto, Chapter Number 1, Text Number 36. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Pulascha janayat patnyam agascham chahavir bhuvi sonya janmani dagragnir vishravascha mahatapa pulascha janayat patnyam Agyashchang chahavir bhuvi Samya janmani dahragnir Vishravascha mahatapa
Translation by Srila Prabhupada. Pulascha begot in his wife, Havirbhu, one son of the name Agastya, who in his next birth became the Hragni. Besides him, Pulascha begot another great and saintly son whose name was Vishrava.
Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sagra Jata Sagana Raghunatan Vidam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Zavadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha. So this is very nice word here. Mahatapa. Greatly powerful because of austerity. So, do we want power? Power is material desire, isn't it? But no, there's another kind of power, that is spiritual power. That is very good. The power to control your senses. The senses, they are wild horses. And if one is not powerful to control his senses, they will take you to hell. So actually, devotee should become powerful. It's very good to become powerful. And how to become powerful? That is by austerity. Where does that austerity begin?
Jivado
begins with the tongue. Chant Hare Krishna and taste prasad. You see, this is considered austerity. Very nice austerity. It is austerity because the tongue wants to eat anything. You see. So one has to restrict the tongue. Only Krishna prasadam. That is austerity. And chanting Hare Krishna is considered austerity because the tongue wants to vibrate all nonsense. Politics, sports, etc. Gossip, village gossip, gramya katha. The tongue wants to talk all nonsense. But to say, no, my dear tongue, you only can chant Hare Krishna and glorify Krishna and describe devotional service, etc., etc. That is considered austerity. So if one will perform this simple austerity given by Srila Rupa Goswami Prabhupada to engage the tongue in Krishna service, then one will become very, very powerful tyagi. Of course, they have nowadays the misconception of vairagya, renunciation. They think vairagya means you have to leave the material world, you have to go away, completely give up everything. You see. Give up your family, give up your job, go live in the forest somewhere. You see. They think that is vairagya. But the highest vairagya, yukta vairagya, you see, proper vairagya, that is to engage everything in Krishna's service. If somebody walks into, what is the name of your bank here in Suva?
West Bank.
West Bank. If somebody walks into West Bank, you see, and they pull out a gun, say, okay, fill up my bag with cash, you see, or I shoot you. See, they just call it thief. That is not a good thing, you see, be a thief. If someone else walks into West Bank and he says, I renounce this bank, you see. What is that foolishness? Is it his bank? How he can renounce it? It does not belong to him. So this idea that I renounce this world, it's a foolish idea. How you can renounce the world, it's not yours to begin with. Renounce means you have a false sense of ownership. You're thinking it belongs to you. Now I will renounce it. So this sort of renunciation is called Palgu Vairagya. Many of you have been to India and seen that Palgu River. You've seen that Palgu River? Anyone has seen? Huh? Have you seen Palgu River? Yes. It is simply sand. If you look, say, where's the river? There's no river here. It's just sand. But then you go underneath, you find the water is under the sand. So this Palgu Vairagya means that you make a show of being renounced, you see. Oh yes, I am renounced. I am sannyasi, you see. But within the heart, there is all the river of material desires is still flowing very, very powerfully, you see. That is called Palgu Vairagya. So that false Vairagya, I give it up, it is not mine, you see. That is rejected by the Vaishnavas. Arjuna was attracted to Palgu Vairagya in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita. He wanted that Palgu Vairagya. I give up this fight. But Krishna said, no, you fight this battle. You fight it for me. You see, that is Yukta Vairagya. So that whatever order is given to you by your spiritual master, even it appears to be a materialistic thing, managing a temple or printing books, making money. So many things the spiritual master may order the disciple to do. You see, but that is all spiritual thing. Whatever order I have received from my spiritual master, you see, that is transcendental. Prabhupada explained in his, I think it was the second canto in that edition, that the brown edition that Prabhupada brought in the trunk from India. He explained that people may criticize him for being a worldly man, that he is going to Delhi
He's dealing with all these businessmen, the printing companies, the price of the paper, all this material calculation. Instead of sitting in Vrindavan and simply chanting Hare Krishna, he's engaged in so many material things. They may criticize, oh, this is not sannyasi. He's engaged in pounds and sound filling and fence, business activity. But no, that the yukta vairagya means engage everything in Krishna's service. The whole world can be engaged in Krishna's service. We have no problem. You see, that is real renunciation. To engage the entire world in Krishna's service. That is Krishna consciousness. So, these are some very nice points regarding Mahatapa. Another nice point in this verse is that Palasya, he was able to beget some very, very saintly, great saintly sons. You see. So, this is, if one is, takes a householder life and he wants to beget children, that is transcendental activity. You see, Krishna says, Kamasmi Bharatarshava, I am that sex life, you see. Which is according to Dharma. So, but that sex life is seen if one can produce great saintly children, you see. So, there's another type of sex life, you see. One is by begetting. Another, sex life means to increase the family members. So another type, that is preaching, you see. That is the greater sex life. Because by sex, you can have a few children. But by preaching, we can have millions of children. Just like Prabhupada, by his relationship in grihastha life, he had a few children. But when he became, when he took up this preaching mission full-time, full-on, full-on preaching activities, then he had 10,000 children, you see. So this is greater sex life. So by preaching, we can make devotees. So what kind of devotees should we make? Great saintly devotees. You see. That is what we have to do. So how will we create great saintly devotees? We have to become great saintly Vaishnavas ourselves. You see. We have to cultivate the qualities of becoming saintly. Otherwise, samgat sanjayate kama. You see. Just like Prabhupada explains that if a second class devotee, he wants to become a first class devotee, he has to associate with the first class devotee. He states that. That sangha is very important. So if we want to create great saintly devotees in this movement, we have to become the great saintly devotees. Otherwise, there's no way we can create great saintly devotees. So, how to become a great saintly devotee? Of course, we never think we're great saintly devotees. That's for disqualification. That means we're not if we're thinking like that. But we should strive always to be great saintly devotees. Feeling ourselves very fallen and meek and lowly, we should always try to develop great saintly qualities. So, how do those qualities come? It is a very simple thing. We simply have to associate with the first class devotee. Srila Prabhupada is there, our spiritual master is there, you see. In this way, through two types of association, Vani and Vapu, we can become first class devotees, great saintly devotees, and create great saintly devotees. So that Vapu, that is very pleasing. When the spiritual master is physically present, it is a great cause for jubilation and celebration. Great happiness. And of course, when he departs, it is great sadness for us that the great, such a great saintly devotee is now departed from this world. It is painful for us. But in that pain of being separated, we can reconnect with that great saintly devotee by holding very tightly to his instructions. Whatever instructions he has given, if we hold very, very tightly, then we are even more closely associated than simply being in his physical presence. My godbrother, Sureshwara Prabhu, he was one time on a walk with Prabhupada. He was walking right behind Prabhupada. He was looking at Prabhupada, his transcendental form, right in front of him, a few feet away. And he was thinking, actually, I'm such a nonsense, my material consciousness. Here I am, this physically, this close to Srila Prabhupada, but actually I'm millions of miles away from Srila Prabhupada. You see, that was his realization. So, it is not that by physical closeness that we actually get the sangha of the spiritual master. The way we actually get that sangha of our beloved spiritual master, our Gurudeva, you see, that is by becoming very, very dedicated to the instructions he has given, to following those instructions. Actually, if we are that dedicated, we'll do anything our spiritual master asks of us. It doesn't matter what it is. Whatever order he gives me, I will execute. Then, you know what happens? The spiritual master comes, he takes up residence in your heart. He actually lives in your heart, and he allows you to live in his heart also. He gives you a place of residence inside his heart, and he takes residence in your heart. You see? So there's actually nothing more wonderful than being dedicated to one's spiritual master, you see. Nothing more wonderful than that. This is glorified in all by all the great acharyas. You see, this guru-disciple relationship, it is the most wonderful thing. It's how we become dear to Krishna, Krishna Priya. We become dear to Krishna by becoming dear to the devotee of Krishna. You see. This is the method, this is the technique. So, in the absence of these great saintly teachers, it is great impetus for us now to become even more tightly connected to their orders. Because when they were here physically, we could go meet with them, we could do some personal service and become enlivened and enthused by their smiling face, by their sweet words, or by their lightning bolt. You see. But now we have not access to that physical presence. So now our only solace is to take their instructions very, very tightly in the heart and to serve them through the instructions to the best of our ability in all times, all places, and all circumstances. And what will be the result? Padang dishva nivaritate. We will get higher taste. It's not difficult to give up some taste if you're addicted to that taste. But if you get some higher taste, let's say I gave you $10 million. You would feel a little happy, I'm sure. Oh, $10 million, I can retire in style. No problem. $10 million, I say, okay, here now I'm giving you $10 million. And then I say, wow, this is great. I'm so happy. And I say, oh, I was only joking. Give it back. Oh, disappointment. You see. But if I say, okay, I am taking that $10 billion back. I was only joking about that. But actually, what I'm really seriously doing is giving you $10 billion. Will you have any trouble giving up that $10 million to get the $10 billion? No way. Here, take the $10 million. It's chicken feed. Give me that $10 billion. See? So this is higher taste, you see. In this world where you're addicted to the tongue, the genitals, pleasure, all these, you know, the ego pleasures, all these pleasures, the eyes, the ears, these different sensual pleasures, we're so addicted to them. It seems impossible to give them up, but if you get some experience, which is millions and billions of times more nectarian than any type of sense gratification you could ever get all the way even to Brahma Loka, you see. And no problem, give it up. Giving it up is very easy to do if you get the higher taste. So if we're actually going to become great saintly devotees that our spiritual masters want us to become, we have to get that higher taste. We have to. Because the only way we'll get free from material desires, the only way. So how do we get that higher taste? You see, that's the most important thing. We have to get that higher taste. Well, I can tell you, you just got to beg for it. That's what we have to do. We just have to beg for it. Krishna, please bless me. Then I can get this higher taste, you see. Sometimes we think that we can have some paradise here in this world, you see. But it's simply maya sukaya, maya paradise. Just like so many tourists, they come here to Fiji, you see. They're thinking, ah, Fiji, paradise, you see. But I see the people who live here, they're wondering, how can I get out of here? So what is that? Some people are thinking paradise, some people are thinking hell. You see? So, the real thing is that we cannot find any paradise in this material world. Actually, they go to New Zealand and it's still hell. They go to Australia or the US, Canada, anywhere they go, it is still hell. You cannot escape hell by moving from one place to another. You see, they say the grass is greener, and it's called the grass is greener on the other side of the fence. You see, if there's some fence, the foolish cow thinks, oh, the grass must be better on the other side. She sticks her head through the fence to eat the grass on the other side. And there's a cow on the other side of the fence sticking her head through the fence to eat out the grass on that side. You see? So, and this we all—that is our nature in the material. We think, well, if I could just be in Fiji, or if I could just—someone in America is thinking I could just be in Fiji, I would be happy. If someone in Fiji is thinking I'd just be in New Zealand, I would be happy. Someone in New Zealand is thinking I'd just be in Australia, I could be happy. In this way, you see, it is called maya sukaya. But the real thing is, wherever you are in this material world, it doesn't matter where you are. You don't need to relocate. Wherever you are, simply find that paradise within your heart. The whole spiritual world is right there inside your heart. Prabhupada explains that there's a mystic television. Now I saw there's some TV antenna here. It doesn't make sense in the temple, you see. Because we already have antenna. Our consciousness is an antenna. Prabhupada explains that we have a mystic television within our heart. That you can actually see the pastimes of Krishna. Who wants to watch this stupid Fiji television? You can watch Goloka Vrindavan television within your heart. And as long as you remain to this mundane television, we'll never see this television. You see. This is called, as we're saying here, greatly powerful because of austerity. I may be addicted. Actually, I was addicted as a kid. I was one of the first children in the world to grow up watching TV back in about 1949. I still remember in my little baby crib, looking over the little bars of my baby crib and looking at the TV, you see, little black and white thing. So I grew up as a TV addict. So I had to give that up, you see. Because the television said it simply takes you deeper and deeper into maya. The longer you watch, the more you become contaminated. So, if we do the austerity of giving up that mundane television. Actually, last night some Matajis in Nalsari, they said, please bless my baby. I said, yes, my blessing is no television for this child. That is my blessing. Maybe they'll never come to get their baby blessed again now, but I may die at any time. I want to give the best possible blessing, so my blessing was no television. Actually, I have practical experience. I was preaching in Malaysia, one of my aspiring disciples' houses. They, instead of the way the boy was raised by watching television, watching the cartoons, you know, the Roadrunner and, you know, Mickey Mouse and all that, Daffy Duck and all that stuff. He grew up completely addicted to the cartoons on television. So anyway, I didn't know what I was doing. I was innocently walking around and I sat down on the couch in the living room. And this little boy, he went into a temper tantrum. I couldn't imagine, what's going on? All I did was sit down on the couch and now he's just completely going berserk with anger at me. What did I do? I just sat down on the couch. And then I found out that was his spot where he watched television from. That was his TV watching asana. And I sat down on his cartoon watching asana. It was like the ultimate apparat. He was so addicted to television that he was even addicted to his spot on the couch where he watched the television from. That is my TV spot. Nobody can touch it. He became so contaminated, you see, by this mundane television. So, instead of becoming addicted to the mundane television, if we can become attached to this Krishna consciousness process, then we will actually experience an awakening of the mystic television within our heart, in which we can see the pastimes of Krishna, the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, even see the pastimes of Prabhupada. Did you miss 26 Second Avenue? I did. I missed it. I didn't join it. Actually, I was in... It bothers me sometimes I think about it. I was... That summer, when Prabhupada formed ISKCON, I was working in a summer camp just north of New York City. I'd gone all the way from Texas to New York, a few miles away from Prabhupada. I came that close to Prabhupada, but I didn't know about him. So that bothers me, that I missed out on the 26 Second Avenue pastimes of Srila Prabhupada. But you know what? Those pastimes are still going on. They're called Nitya Lila. And you can actually enter into those pastimes. You can see them within your heart. All of these amazing Lilas of Srila Prabhupada, they can be experienced if one awakens that mystic television within the heart. So it's worth the austerity of not turning on that one-eyed guru. It's worth it. Or taking it down to the second-hand shop and say, here, take it. It's worth it. Because then, when there's no television to watch, well, what to do? I'll read the Bhagavatam. I'll read the Gita. Have a kirtan. Get all the family members together for a kirtan. Or I'll go to the temple. Do some service. You see? And by that, strictly following the bhakti marg, you see, by following that bhakti marg, then that pure bhakti will awaken within the heart. That wonderful, wonderful pure bhakti. Then you will find a paradise within your own heart. You can live in paradise at every minute. The sweetest, most wonderful paradise you could ever imagine is right there within your heart, waiting for you to get your visa to enter it. You see? So what is that visa? That is pure bhakti. To enter that paradise, you require a visa. And that is ahaitaki bhakti. So, we have a few minutes left. Perhaps there's some questions. This is your last chance. I don't know when I'm coming back. I may not come back ever. Who knows, I could leave my body. It's maybe the last time you'll ever see me. You don't know when I'm going to come back. I may never come back. I may come, I may not come. That is up to Krishna. I would like to, but Krishna may have other plans for me. I don't know. So if there's any questions, you can ask.
I've got a question for you.
Yes, very good. Oh, you've written it down. Very good.
Because I thought if I speak, you won't be able to...
This is very good. Actually, in Sydney, they make a practice of that. They have a little basket, and everybody writes down the questions, and they give me a basket at the end of the class, and I just go through the basket. This is nice. Is there freedom of the soul? Question. A transcendentalist, having reached prema stage, would go to Vrindavan Goloka. Obviously, there would be many more from different galaxies, like... In this mundane world, when we are under the influence of the material nature, similarly, will there be a divine mode for those who find divinity? What would happen to them when their pious activities are over? Let's see. Let's see, a transcendentalist would go to Radha Studi many more like Jiravana. Now, entering into the Brahma Jyoti is a result of past of pious activities, but not entering into Goloka Vrindavan. Aruya Krishchena Parang Padam Pada Padantyato Nadra Chadushmanang Riyaha. That after undergoing great, great austerities, many, many pious activities, with great, great endeavor, one can enter into the Brahman, the spiritual sky. But after those, after one burns off, the reactions for those pious activities, patanti, and ho, they fall down again. But for one who actually enters Goloka Vrindavan, the pastimes of Krishna, they go to a higher position beyond piety and impiety. That is the transcendental position. On that position, one will even engage in impious activities if it will please Krishna, like the gopis, you see. For an Indian woman to go dance with another man in the forest, to leave her husband to dance in a, with a man in the forest, that is the most impious thing she could ever do. You see? So the gopis, they were very impious women. From that perspective, their husbands are at home and they're going to dance with another man in the forest. Oh, in Hindu society, they're rejected like prostitutes. Get out, you know, you're a prostitute, get out of here. So the gopis, they were the most impious, you see, from a material viewpoint. So the point is that a devotee is transcendental to piety and impiety. He simply engages in those activities which please Krishna. And he's not interested in any pious result for himself. He doesn't care anymore about, well, I want to do punya so I get some pious reactions. No. He doesn't care for the reactions anymore. Good or bad, he doesn't care. He just wants to please Krishna in all times, all places, and all circumstances. Even if he has to stay in the material world, he doesn't mind. He's willing to stay in the material world, even in the lowest planet, Patala Loka, and suffer perpetually if that's what Krishna wants. Simply, he wants to please Krishna. And because of this, there's no question of burning off his piety. He is transcendental to piety and impiety. And therefore, he is granted eternal residence in the transcendental abode of Krishna. Does that answer your question? Thank you very much. I so much appreciate it. Someone has written a very nicely question. I appreciate it very much. It's rare in Fiji for me to get questions. In Sydney, I'm spoiled. You know, I get so many questions, there's hardly time to answer all of them. But in Fiji, when I get a question like this, I feel so happy. Thank you so much. Here, I'd like to give you this garland. So, I don't have any more garlands, but are there any more questions?
Why one wants to receive a temporary things in him?
Hmm?
Why one would like to do difficulties, take over all the difficulties to get a temporary thing, and instead of...
Poor fund of knowledge. It's just they're not properly educated, that's it. Why undergo great penances and austerities to get some temporary benefit? Doesn't make sense. If you're going to do some penances and austerities, why not do it for some eternal benefit? This is intelligence, you see. But actually the austerities we do are much less than what the jnanis do to merge into Brahman. It's much less, they can't eat nice foodstuffs. They eat very austerely. You see, we can take wonderful, tasty foodstuffs. You see, they can't have a wife and have children. They have to become strictly celibate. We can have kids. We can get married and have children. We can have sex pleasure and use it in Krishna's service. You see, it's much easier path.
Why wouldn't they want to take the bhakti path?
Because they weren't properly educated. And because they have a desire to become God also. It's their pride. They don't want to become a humble servant of God. They think, I want to merge into Brahman and become God. You see? There is that envy, that pride. They don't want to bow down to anyone. That's the other problem. You see? It's foolishness and it's also pride. Those two things are the death knell for the jnanis. They keep them in their fallen condition. Their ignorance and their pride. Those two things. Ignorance and pride. Yeah. So anything else? Yes.
How does the Antesti Kriya, the final rites, help the departed souls?
How does...
Final rites.
Oh. Well, it depends on if they're done properly. Depends if they're actually done properly. If you really want to help them, then go and have kirtan. You see, Hare Krishna kirtan, prasadam offered, you distribute prasadam in their name. So that those kind of final rites that we do in Krishna consciousness movement with the kirtan, prasad distribution, that will give them great blessings. That will help them to advance in whatever position they're in. The power of kirtan, you see, that is the greatest yajna. In this age, only the sankirtan yajna is recommended. That has a great potency, this Krishna kirtan. It actually has purifying on the whole universe, it has impact. So if we have kirtan on behalf of the departed soul, we're begging Krishna's mercy to bless that soul, you see. And Krishna reciprocates according according to their surrender to me, I reciprocate accordingly. So if we are praying to Krishna and begging him to bless, to give his mercy upon a departed soul, according to our own purity, whatever degree of purity we have in our kirtan, to that extent he will reciprocate. So we'll stop here. We thank you very much. Kantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.